Case Morby. If you haven't heard of him, you will today. Phenomenal real estate investor. One of my favorite shows ever. I got 5 pages of notes. I'm not kidding. I took notes the whole time. I got 5 pages of little handwriting notes. So
if you're listening, folks, you can make some dough.
Can anybody get into this who's motivated?
1,000%.
Why aren't more people flocking into this?
This is the formula right here. It's called subjectivity. Bro, you're making me sick right now. Why would the bank let me do that?
But this guy seemed to come out of nowhere, and he's got an unbelievable following, tribe. He's got a top podcast. He's got the most popular TV show on A&E called Triple Digit Flip. But what's even more impressive is his heart to serve.
Case Morby is the guy for all things real estate, and he does it all with something called creative financing.
It's going to be everything and anything you could ever want to know about creative financing.
When I watch Pace, you know what I see? I see a guy who got a whole universe of humans who told him, you can't do it that way. And he said, F it, watch me.
Yo, everybody, welcome to Get Creative Podcast. I'm here joined with Jordan Wittenberg to my right, probably your left. And we're going to be hanging out here for the next 40 minutes talking about creative finance. Any questions you guys have in the comments today? My team put a thing in the side chat, or the title of this, called How to Calculate Terms. And I'm not going to do that today. And the reason being is I've got a guest with me, so we'll switch it up. I'll do how to calculate terms next week. But today we'll do a little bit of Q&A. Ask me whatever questions you guys have. We'll jump into it. Check this out. Matt Lopez says, hi, Pace. I've been following you for 2 years now, and I can't find anyone to JV with me for a few deals. Is that even humanly possible, Jordan?
It's not if you go in your free Facebook group and scroll for more than 4 seconds.
That, like, seriously?
Yeah. I mean, they're everywhere, and there's sub-2 students, and they're everywhere that will partner with you and guide you along the way. So,
Jordan, I almost feel like you should rephrase that statement by saying, Pace, I have been following you for 2 years, and I've done everything out of my power to avoid JVing with your students, and I've been very successful. I can tell you right now, Angie Milanazzo in the side chat right here, somebody I've done JV deals with multiple times. She's a great leader in sub two. She has done probably 100+ deals with people outside of the community and help people in the free Facebook group. And she's here for Get Creative almost every single week. So make sure that you are showing up. Check this out. Justin Landon says, hey, by the way, I just saw you on Wholesale Hotline. Let's squad up. Bro, come on. Come on, come on, come on. You know you got help right here in Get Creative. Guys, thank you so much for coming in on Monday nights. By the way, our podcast is now top 50 in the nation. Get Creative is top 50 in the nation podcast regarding most downloads. So thank you so much for doing that, showing up, downloading the podcast, helping out, spread the word, all of the things. We just closed on a deal today. That deal was a JV deal, actually. It was a deal that was brought to me by Jordan Reyes in the sub-2 community. He's in Montana, and he knew that I was buying in Kalispell, Montana. Last year, he brought me 2 RV parks. So let me give you guys a little bit of education. Whatever you guys need, please let me know in the side chat. We'll do a little bit of Q&A tonight. Whatever questions you have, wherever you're stuck, say it in the comments. We'll give you a little bit of advice. We'll be on here for 40 minutes. So Jordan Reyes brings me these 2 deals. And the structure of this deal, it's 2 RV parks. I'll show them to you. They're actually really good. Great locations. And let's see, Glacier Peaks is the one that I now own. And Glacier Peaks RV Park and Campground. Dope. What? Somebody's using Google AdSense to beat me out? This is not cool. Check this out, guys. This is not cool. We're going to have to beat these people out. You want me to show you how I'm going to beat everybody in Kalispell on these RV parks? Check this out. I Google Glacier Peaks RV Park and Starry Night Lodging beats me out because they sponsored it. That's not cool. I don't like that. We're going to see what we can do to beat them out. Then look, Glacier Peaks RV Park. That's me. Dope. Let's go over there. This is our park. I'll show you guys the location. I could not have gotten a better location. Unbelievable location. If you look at the whole valley, Glacier National Park is up here to the right. The airport is right here in LaSalle. Boom. And you leave the airport to go to Glacier National Park. You have to go up the main road and get fueled up at the last gas station on the way up to Glacier National Park. And guess what? That gas station is across the street from my RV park. We've got 40 storage units on that RV park and about 85 pads here. We bought this for $5 million on seller finance. I did not get my credit check. I did not use a bank. I did not use any of my own money.
Your W-2 though.
I do not have a W-2. I don't know that I would be a good W-2 employee, to be honest with you, but that's good to bring that up. And today we closed on this little cutie right here, Mountain View RV Park, right? Same owner that sold it to us. Name it is Eric. This now has a mini putting facility across the street and a new coffee shop. So it's popping. Nice. It's right between Glacier Park and Whitefish, which is just an amazing location. People visit this year round for skiing and doing all the things. And then they come and they hang out at, I mean, you've been here. You know how dope it is up there.
Whitefish and Glacier National Park are unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So I got both of these bad boys. It was brought to me by Jordan Reyes, who lives down in Missoula. And here's what happened. Eric, the seller, is in a bad financial situation in a different business. So Eric owns both those RV parks a year ago. He decides, I'm going to list them. His broker can't sell them. We reach out to the broker multiple times. We offer seller finance. No, 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 no. Then the listing falls apart. Jordan Reyes reaches out to the seller, Eric, and says, hey, I'll buy these on seller finance. We'll save you a bunch of money on taxes. We'll pay you your number. And there goes the negotiations. The negotiations lasted about 3 months, going back and forth with all sorts of structures. Let's do a contract for deed. Let's do a no money down. Let's do a this, that, and the other. And ultimately, the first park, the one I showed you first, is a $5 million purchase, 5% down, so $250,000 down. I did not use my money for that. I brought in a private money lender. And that park is already booked out for like a year and a half. It is booked out solid. Things cash flowing. I think our net cash flow on that thing in the peak summer months, we're netting something like 30 grand a month. And then in the winter months, we basically break even. So our average month is about $11,000 to $15,000 a month, net, 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 in my pocket, net, net, net. And then the other park, the smaller one, we closed on today. You guys can look on my Instagram story. We closed on that today. That one, we are actually doing the BRRRR strategy on. So as much as I talk crap about the BRRRR strategy, sadly, I'm doing the BRRRR strategy right now. Okay, this is great. David Thompson says, Pace, when taking over a property subject to, do you use a power of attorney to take over the HOA payments from the seller, or do you switch it over to your buyer's name? Yes, you switch it over to, so there's an HOA transfer document. A lot of times it's at escrow. The escrow officers actually do this for you. So yes, that is correct. You fill out, because you're the new owner, by the way, David. You are the new owner. I think that's probably one of the hardest things for a lot of people to understand. They're like, wait, you bought the property subject to, but the owner still owns the house. No, they do not own the house, my friend. You own the house. Oh my gosh. I have explained this so many times in my life that when I go to re-explain it, I go, wait, I've explained this. That means I probably have I've not explained it properly. I did not know. I didn't do it right. Otherwise, David Thompson would know the answer. The reality is I have to be a broken record, like Don Walker says, 10,000 times so everybody can understand. The owner of the property is you, David Thompson. So when the HOA is wanting to know who the owner is, you simply just tell them you're the new owner. It's really not that hard, right? It's actually so simple that people overcomplicate it because they're like, there's no way it's that easy.
That's all it is.
By the way, guys, Jordan Wittenberg, reach out to him. What's your Instagram?
At Jordan Wittenberg.
Okay, how do I spell that?
Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, Wittenberg, W-H-I-T-T-E-N-B-U-R-G.
Jordan Wittenberg, last year, got a $95,000 assignment fee on a door knock.
Man, that was a ride. Yeah, we talked about it today.
$95,000 knocking a door.
Yeah, getting out of your comfort zone can pay off. You're persistent with it.
What was the biggest lesson you learned on that deal with William?
Like I said, where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Now, this deal that you did last year, the $95,000 assignment fee that you got, you sold that deal to Mike Key in yep. Idaho, who also is in sub two.
Yep.
He's in the middle of flipping the property right now.
Yep.
When you got that deal, it was like 2 days away from getting foreclosed on. Mm-hmm. You jumped through 85 hoops to stop the foreclosure and then 8,500 hoops to get the thing actually sold to Mike Key. I feel like one deal gave you like a masterclass on foreclosure.
Man. Yeah. It was a crash course. Anything that could have popped up did, and just navigated our way through it throughout the whole process and found a way to get it done.
Oh, check it out.
Yeah.
Is that Mike Key? Off-road treks? He sounds says, like no, I kept it. DSCR.
Oh, he's going to keep it.
I don't know. I don't know if that's Mike Key or not.
He had talked about maybe keeping it. And he was between, but he's fixing it up. I know that.
Okay, cool.
But he was between buy and hold or flipping it.
It was, it's a great story. An awesome story. You made 95 G's on the deal. You helped a seller that nobody else could sell. In fact, what was the first, you knocked the seller's door.
Yeah.
What was the first words he said to you?
Don't waste your time. It's hopeless.
Didn't even say, what's your name? Didn't even say, can I help you? He opens the door and tells Jordan, don't waste your time. It's hopeless. And then you proceed to go and help the man and make 95 grand.
Yeah. I just said, I'm here to solve problems. He invited me in and explained his whole situation in his living room. It was about an hour talk. And he knew I was just there to listen to him and see if we could figure something out. I didn't know if I could yet, but I wanted to at least listen and see if there was something he could do that he just wasn't aware of yet.
You know what I love about this is that how did you meet Mike Key? Was it at a meetup?
I met him at a sub two meetup in Boise. Yeah. Shortly after I joined last year. And then I, at that Limitless event, we talked about that deal more in depth, and, this one just happened to match his buy box like perfectly. And, so it was just a good fit, and I pitched him the deal, and it was what he was looking for. And it was a win-win for everybody.
You know, what's cool about that is that people are like, why do you always going to meetups? My friend's like, why are you always going to meetups? I'm like, bro, the deals get done at meetups. They freaking get done at meetups. I mean, if you had not seen Mike Key that day at Limitless, would you have sold that deal to Mike Key?
I would have reached out to him. Just
so maybe yes.
Yeah. But it helped talking about it in person. There's value in that physical proximity. Yeah.
I love that. Anyone buying cash deals in Denver, Colorado, have two duplexes. Whoa, two duplexes for $400,000 each. So you're telling me for $100,000 a door, I can buy a property in Denver, Colorado? That sounds like actually a good deal. I imagine the rent rate on each one of those units if it's in Denver, those units could probably be $1,800. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Angie Milanazzo? Cool. Yeah, this is great. Y'all who haven't met Mike, he has big balls. Yeah. The dude is so cool, lifting cold plunges, disciplined AF. I would say that's true. 100%. Yep. Cash deals have been happening a bit more lately, been finding more and more cash buyers. Yeah, cash buyers are back in the marketplace. They realize that rates are not going to be coming down immediately, but they realize rates will come down at some point. And so they're starting to buy more properties with the expectation that the market's going to go up when interest rates go down. And when is the best time to flip is when you feel like the market is going up or staying stagnant. Definitely not in 2020. End of 2022, beginning of 2023, a lot of people lost their butts in fixing and flipping because the interest rates were going up and the market was going down. So yeah, you're going to see a lot more cash buyers coming into the marketplace, buying up a lot more deals over the next couple of months. So you'll see our community sub two will be doing tons more cash deals over the next year for sure. Max, makes sense. The stagnation brought flippers back like crazy. Oh, this is cool. Thank you, Stacy. She says, hello, Katya from the East Coast. It's 10:15 at night.
Gator Audio, get creative. Join GatorTribe.com. Chomp Chomp, I wanted to come in here and take a moment of your time, let you know that this episode you're listening to is obviously a Gator Tribe member, somebody that's joined the Gator Tribe and said, look, I'm going to bet on you, Pace. I'm going to bet on this education and this community that you built so that I can go and change my life. This student of mine in the Gator Tribe is making money. They're doing deals. They're collaborating with other people. And they're not only doing that in their local market, they're doing it all over the country. No matter where you are in the United States, no matter where you want to invest, getting started in Gator is a wonderful place to launch. So if I were you, I would go to joingatortribe.com.
Montana title companies have a hard time understanding Sub 2. Any suggestions? Yes, join the community and work with Montana students that will get that put you in touch with the right title company.
Jordan Reyes, shout out again.
There you go, Jordan Reyes. I just closed. You know what I just did? I just closed with Fidelity Title in Montana, a $1.4 million deal today. It's the same title company that did a seller finance deal with me and another same title company that did a sub two deal with me in Montana, the exact same city, the exact same title company. You just got to know the right people with the right connections.
And get good at explaining it.
And get good at explaining. There you go. That's a big part of it as well. Yeah, this is good. But deals have been that have been on the market a long time have been usually having low equity. Now, what's interesting too is like the market has the days on market are really high. The average days on market is much higher than it normally is, obviously the last year. And so cash buyers are giving this amazing success rate of lowballing. In fact, we were talking to Donda today. Mm-hmm. And she got a deal where she just goes, hey, listing agent,
half the price.
Let me offer half the price.
Yeah. And they said, yes.
This is an interesting thing. You guys are seeing a lot of ads for Section 8 rentals. Okay, guys, let's talk about Section 8 rentals. What is so exciting about Section 8 rentals? What let you tell me, you know what it is?
Oh, it's guaranteed government.
It's guaranteed government money. Yeah. People really like that. Okay, great. Well, guess what? You have to buy in very specific areas. And Section 8 is one of many, many government programs, and they also are not always available in the city you do. What I found is that Section 8 required me to buy in areas I did not want to own properties.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Usually high crime.
High crime.
Poverty. Yeah.
A lot of poverty stuff. So here's the other thing about Section 8. You're buying in an area that does not appreciate as fast as other areas that do not do Section 8. And so it kind of depends on the game you're trying to play. Okay, there you go. Section 8 attracts Walmart shopping tenants. I do shop at Walmart, just so you know. And when I shop at Walmart, I do wear my Crocs. Okay, so this is David Thompson says, as a truck driver, I have no time to hunt for deals, so I JV with fellow Sub 2 students to buy Sub 2 deals and wrap them. I could have never done any of these deals. By the way, I saw David Thompson in Orlando the other day. Never done any of these deals as I did when I partnered with this community. There you go. Love that, brother. Thank you so much. So people really love, it's interesting to me, like Section 8 people, like it's guaranteed money. Okay. Let's take regular rentals. For example, what's the average default rate on a rent? Does anybody know that?
I don't know the rate.
This is what's so interesting to me about Section 8. Most people don't know this.
And is it like a similar rate?
It's so small. The amount of people that actually default on their rent versus Section 8, which is like, you do still get Section 8 defaults.
Yeah.
Okay. The government is not paying their full rent. Do you know about that?
No.
The government does not pay their full rent. The government subsidizes their rent. And so the tenant is actually paying something. Mm-hmm. So just because the Section 8 paid doesn't mean the tenant is still
responsible for a portion.
There you go. They're responsible for $300, $400, $500, right? Smaller amounts. Okay, so you're attracting a tenant, right, that has to use government assistance to rent there. Perfect. Okay, got it. No problem. I love that. It's a great program. It's a great program. It's a great program. I said it three times. I don't want it to go away. Mm-hmm. However, what is the default rate for a regular rental?
Yeah.
Is it 70% of people don't default? Is it 80% of people don't default? It's over 90% of tenants do not default. So when you guys are chasing government cheese, I'm not saying it's not a good strategy. It's just that people get so excited about the Section 8 stuff right now because there's a guy out there that's in, he's like doing ads in front of a Bugatti and he's got a car, a garage full of like really fancy cars.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not a bad guy. I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
Yeah. Just his strategy.
But his strategy is let me attract people that are like guaranteed money, Bugatti, look at my beach house, look at my this. And you know what they call it? It's lifestyle, ladies, and I can't remember the third L.
But it's like the Tai Lopez marketing method.
It's the three L's as they call it. So it's like lifestyle, ladies, and Lamborghinis. Lamborghinis, ladies, and lifestyle. And when you see people that are marketing that way, guys, be careful. Okay. When somebody has to do an ad in front of a Bugatti and has to do an ad in front of a mansion and like, this is my lifestyle, this is what I make, just be careful. Yeah. Doesn't mean that he's a bad guy.
Yeah. It's an attention grabber, but could be a red flag.
Okay. Just could be a red flag. Lamborghinis, ladies, and lifestyle. So I look at Section 8 and here's the challenge with Section 8. If a Section 8 tenant doesn't pay their rent, can I evict them like a normal tenant?
I don't think so.
I cannot. Yeah. They have rights that regular tenants do not have.
California style.
And it's a government program. You sign off on this and you're not going to immediately kick them out. Mm-hmm. You have to go through this thing and arbitration and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'm not willing to do that.
That's the headaches. Yeah.
Right. I had in my 43 unit in San Angelo, Texas, we had six people that were Section 8 tenants in my thing. They weren't paying. One guy was threatening one of our students. She was actually in the yearbook. I was just looking at her. She came with me. She's like, hey, Pace, you're in San Angelo. Can I come hang out with you at your units? I go, yeah, come over and hang out. But I want to let you know I have six tenants that we're calling the police on. They're attacking other tenants. I just want to let you know that I've lost like 14 of my tenants because of these six people. So just be careful. She comes over. This guy has his cane out. He's attacking her. And we have to get three people around her to get her into a car to get her off the property. That's a Section 8 tenant.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Live World Star.
It literally was like Live World Star. We actually put it on the YouTube channel. It's a phenomenal video if you guys want to see my tenant attacking one of my students. So that's Section 8.
Yeah.
For me, when people are like, oh, I want that mailbox money, I want passive income. Guys, Section 8 money is not passive income. You're dealing with tenant issues frequently. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing about Section 8 tenants. Do they treat the properties better or worse than a regular tenant that does not need government assistance? What do you think?
Oh, I was reading the next question.
Okay. So tenant quality, right?
Yeah.
If I have a tenant that's Section 8 versus a tenant that's not Section 8, which tenant do you think is going to treat my property better?
Oh yeah. Non-Section 8.
Non-Section 8.
Yeah. They're more responsible.
They're way more responsible. They didn't need government assistance. So
they have to be accountable.
And people go, well, here's the thing, Pace. If they damage your property, they could lose their Section 8 entitlement. Hmm. Do you think that's stopped them from ruining their life so far? Now, not everybody that's on Section 8 has made bad decisions. I get that. I made a generalized statement. Totally get that. But I want to let you know that the overwhelming majority of Section 8 tenants leave my properties in $10,000 more damage than a non-Section 8 tenant. So when people go, well, Section 8 pays a little bit more money, see, Israel, there's always somebody that's like, nope, not true. You have two tenants. Okay. Israel Miller has two tenants that are Section 8 people that do everything. Guys, see, same thing. Ashley, I already said this. Did I not hedge this? Did I not say I'm not talking about
get ahead of it?
I tried to get ahead of it. Always, always, always. Guys,
it's more just the comparison to normal renters.
I'm comparing. Yeah. Look, there's amazing Section 8 tenants, just like there's horrible regular tenants. Okay. That, in some situations, mm-hmm. but if you generalize it and you take the worst of both sides and the best of both sides out of the equation and take the middle, the overwhelming majority of my Section 8 properties have $10,000 more of damage on a property when they move out than a regular tenant. So when people say, oh, Section 8 pays more money, guys, I have 2,000 doors. I have 2,000 doors in my portfolio. Okay. I'm going to say that again. I have 2,000 doors in my portfolio. Doesn't mean I know everything. No, I do have some experience if I have 2,000 doors. So when you're looking at those deals and you're saying, I really want to go Section 8, here's the challenge with Section 8. The biggest challenge with Section 8 is that you can't just go and pick any house and turn into a Section 8 house. You can't. You have to go and find areas and sections where they have vouchers. I have bought houses when they say, oh, vouchers are available. I go find a house. I buy the house. And then I go and I go, hey, I need a voucher. They don't approve the house. Okay. Got it. So there's all guys. I said this artistically aspiring. I said this about 17 minutes ago. People choose to listen to what they want and not listen to what they don't want. I said, guys, there's amazing Section 8 tenants. There's a lot of people that use it that are not bad decision makers. They didn't do it something poor. Oops. I made that statement so clear. I just said it now a second time. Okay. I just made it a second time. I'm going to make it a third time so we can move past this. Okay. Section 8 tenants. There's a lot of them that are amazing. A lot of them are amazing and they did not make bad decisions. Maybe they were dealt a bad hand. Maybe they're veterans that just are out of work or they're injured or whatever the heck. I get all of that. Okay. I get all of that. Thank you so much we've made that comment 5 different times now. Okay. Now let's move on and just talk about the facts. If you have 20 regular rentals and 20 Section 8 rentals, you are getting way more damage on your Section 8 tenants. You are getting just as much default rate on your Section 8 as you are on your regular tenants. That's all I'm saying. So when people make the argument, Section 8 has guaranteed rent. No, it does not. Section 8 does not have guaranteed rent. You do get a portion of it that is guaranteed from the government, but when your tenant does not make their portion, that part is not guaranteed. Cool. Got it. Does Section 8 pay you a little bit more money than a regular tenant can? Yes. However, when you take consideration into the amount of damage that comes from a Section 8 tenant over, let's say, a 4-year time span, 4 years, $10,000 of damage, that's $2,500 of damage per year extra that's being put on the property. That's what, $200 extra per month. It waives and wipes out the extra cash flow that you're getting from the Section 8 tenant. So I disagree from my own personal experience that Section 8 pays more money. Okay. There you go. Now, is Section 8 awesome in a lot of ways? Yes. However, when you go and you do Section 8, what are you running into? You're running into areas that are a little bit less amazing. And let's say that I did make the decision that I wanted to convert my property into a midterm rental, or I want to convert my property into an Airbnb or, you know, mental wellness house or something else, a different exit strategy. You can't just do that in a property that you bought for $60,000 in Ohio in the middle of nowhere. Most of the people that are doing Section 8 are buying houses in the hood that nobody wants. They do not appreciate. If they're $60,000, think about this. If they're $60,000 to $80,000 today, when real estate is at an all-time high, I'm going to teach you guys something about real estate. You should all write this down. Nobody makes money from cash flow. This has been talked about on Bigger Pockets. This has been talked about on my show. Nobody makes money from cash flow. Where do you make all your money? You make your real significant money in the tax savings of real estate. That's massive. Okay. The other thing, and by the way, if you're buying $80,000 properties and you're actually putting 30% down and getting 7 or 8% interest loans, which is what people are doing in Section 8, you're missing out. Your tax advantage is only $80,000 versus I can go do a sub 2 deal in a good neighborhood at $250,000 with less than 5% down and get a 3% interest rate deal. And I can turn that into a regular rental in a market that's going to appreciate. Which property is going to appreciate more? The one that you bought for $80,000 in 2024 or the property that you bought for $250,000 in 2024? What's the likelihood that this 250 is going to be outsurpassed by the 80? Impossible. Impossible. Okay. There you go. Bernie Soderbergh says, lost my shorts with Section 8 in Detroit. It was steady income for a while and they completely ruined our properties. Now, is that every tenant? No. And Bernie's not saying that is every tenant either.
Just being aware of it. Just an investor doing your due diligence.
There you go.
That's it. That's all we're talking about.
Cool. Now, Carolyn says, how can I get started? Carolyn, let me show you something that's pretty helpful. Watch this. This is really, really cool. I will give you something that's super helpful. If we go to YouTube and we type in, one of my favorite things to do on YouTube is this. Check this out. type in Pace Morby, get started. Getting started step by step in 2024. Let's see. I have one more. Creative Finance 101, how to get started. 197,000 views streamed a year ago. Okay. That was also a 6-hour video, by the way. This is 6 hours long. I literally sit in until the 6 hours and I break it down and thousands out. I give you step by step. I give you 6 hours. This is also a year ago. Apparently,
that's a question for Nancy.
Growing my beard back then. So there you go. How to get started. Let me give you, I'll share this video for you and go and watch that video. That's like a little masterclass all for free for you, Nancy. Should help you out quite a bit. And so again, when you guys are having conversations about, hey, how do I make money in real estate? Cash flow is great, but what cash flow really does is it helps you manage your vacancy. It helps you manage your future repairs. Cash flow might pay some bills and help you reinvest that money into future things. But really the biggest money that I make and everybody else I know makes in real estate is when you get your tax benefits, when your tenants pay down the mortgage, and biggest one is when the property appreciates and you refinance that money out and you get that money tax-free. That's where the big, massive chunks of money come from. I did a video, and I'll explain this one for you guys in a second, but I did a video with Jerry Norton up in Montana, breaking down one of his deals. Let me see if I can find this. Pace Morby, Jerry Norton. Okay. Dang, these are good. Him and I have done some good videos together. Jerry and I have done some freaking great videos together. I have a video that I broke down a property, how to find deals daily. Nope, not that one. There it is. Boom. I knew I could find it. Here we go, guys. Let me show this to you. This is a great video because what it does is it highlights that the majority of the money you make over a 5-year period on a piece of real estate is actually not the cash flow. And we go through, we break this down one by one. So number one is cash on cash return. Number two is appreciation. Three is tax benefits. Four is pay down. Five is leverage. And you look at the end of this video, you'll see that it's a mess. That's what you'll see. But the total return on this property in 5 years is $410,000. And the cash on cash return is actually the least amount of it. The appreciation is $225,000. The tax benefits and the pay down are more significant than all of the cash on cash return. So when you guys are sitting there chasing Section 8 is a game that you will end up getting out of, because you will realize I'm not making the money I need to make, which is the appreciation. If you buy it, think about it again. If you buy a property today that is worth 80 grand in 2024
versus one worth 250,
which one is going to be worth another 250 in 10 years? It's a no-brainer, right? So the other thing is you're buying an $80,000 property and you're putting 30% down and getting a 7.5% rate mortgage right now with rates. It doesn't make sense. Well, Pace, why do I have to do that? Well, because Section 8 is relegated to specific areas. Every county has different vouchers. You can't just go and go, I'm going to buy that house on the MLS and turn it into Section 8. That is not how this works. You have to go to specific areas that the government is willing to give vouchers for Section 8. And if you're going into those areas, you're not always likely to find a property that you can buy sub-2 or seller finance. I personally would rather find a sub-2 or seller finance deal and then determine my exit strategy, because I bought it for 5% down with a 3% interest rate, knowing that I got a better deal in a good area, and I would then choose my exit strategy. Guys, if you're going after only Section 8 and you want to help people and you want to go after affordability, do pad split. Pad split's going to make you way more money, and I would research pad split over Section 8 all freaking day long. More cash flow. Okay, less restrictions. I don't have to ask the government to pay me. Yeah. And I've got a property. I just did a breakdown of it on, let's do another YouTube video. I'll give you guys this link in the side chat.
Co-living. Well, the cool thing with that too, with pad split, is that the tenants are kind of accountable to each other. It's like they can do reviews on each other if one of them isn't holding up their end. And so there's that.
Okay, let's go. Pace Morby pad split. In YouTube, I have a really good one. I think we just recently posted. It's a deal that I bought. No money out of my pocket, 2% interest rate, already had 5 bedrooms in the deal. Oh, right here. 1 month ago. Okay. Use pads.
Hey guys, how can you get
this property right here? It's a 7-minute video. We break it down on walking through the house. We show you exactly what it looks like. I did not do a dollar of renovation on this freaking thing. I bought it from a sub two student right here, Luciano. Let's see what the rate was.
3.25.
Okay, 3.25, not 2%, not 2.75, 3.25. This was a month ago. So what would you rather do? Buy a gorgeous house in a wonderful neighborhood across the street from a park using pad split with no credit check, very little down payment. I think I gave him 19 grand, but it came from a private money lender. Guess what I can't do when I'm doing Section 8 and I'm buying through a bank? I can't borrow money from a private money lender. I have to have seasoned funds of my own. Okay. There you go. Boom, 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 boom. There's another video. So if I were you guys, I would use Section 8 as one of my strategies, and I would become a master of understanding all exit strategies. Here's what you're doing when you guys do that. Would you ever go play golf against me and only have a driver?
Not if I was trying to beat you.
Okay. If you wanted to beat me, what's the one club you could do without?
Do without? Probably like a 4-iron.
Okay, the 4-iron is Section 8, just so you know. It's the one exit strategy I could do without. And I could still beat you. It's not that I use my 4-iron a couple. You use your 4-iron, yeah. I think, a couple times yesterday, yeah, too. I hit my 4-iron like 210 the other day. Mm-hmm. Had a great shot, actually overshot the hole. I was like, dude, this 4-iron's pretty dope. But I'm telling you, it's the one club you would take out of your bag. It's the one club I would take out of my bag and still have confidence to beat somebody in a match.
Right. Useful, but there's better options.
Section 8. There you go. Do I still want it in my bag? Yes. But if you told me take one exit strategy out of your bag, it's Section 8. Okay.
The 4-iron of investing strategies.
There you go. Dang, that's a great analogy. Guys, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us tonight. It's a shorter episode than normal. I'm going to go take Jordan to dinner if he'll have me. We're going to go get some tacos with some people and have a good time. By the way, if you guys are in Arizona and you want to come and grab tacos, we're going to go to Taco Boy in downtown Tempe, and we will be there at 8:30. So that's in about 45 minutes. I'm going to go hang out with my girls for 15 minutes. He's going to hang out with his girls for 15 minutes. Yeah. So we're going to go down to Taco Boy and hang out. I look forward to seeing you guys tonight. Thank you so freaking much. By the way, we'll be back here Monday, and anybody, I think as of today, Squat Up Summit tickets are sold out.
Nice.
I think so. I think we might have like 3-4 left, something very, very small.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Investor Queen Marine says, we started our first pad split in Scottsdale because of you, Pace. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So if you guys do not have a ticket to Squat Up Summit, it's next week. I believe you sold 3 tickets today.
I did. Yeah. And got a little VIP upgrade. So it's going to be a good time. Grant Cardone, Cody Sanchez, Vina Jetty.
I think honestly, the one that it will be the best speaker at the whole thing. There's 2 speakers I'm really excited about.
Jerry Norton. And Donald Miller. Yeah.
I think Donald Miller will be one of the most important people you hear speak. And he's on day one. And he will help align you with your goals incredibly quickly. That's why we chose to have him on day one, so we can go through the 3-day event with a cadence. And he will be a guy that he's second speaker. I'm speaker number one. It's my event. So,
Jamil.
Jamil will speak 2, maybe 3 times. I'll speak 4 times. Cody Sanchez once, Donald Miller twice, actually.
Nice.
He'll speak on stage once and then in the VIP room. That's good job. You get to hang out with him.
There we go.
Everybody in the VIP, there's like, dude, the VIP room is going to be lit.
It's going to be good. I can't wait.
It's like all your best homies, all the coolest people in the whole
entire. Mikey shouting me out.
We are not streaming it. It's a live event. I don't believe in streaming live events. A lot of people can watch the replay, but the event, honestly, the best part of the event is the physical proximity to other people. So like streaming it to you guys is not really that beneficial. Okay. So SquatUpSummit.com. If you guys don't have a ticket, I think it's sold out as of today. I think you probably sold the last 3 tickets.
All right. Getting it done.
Guys, thank you so much for coming to Get Creative. We will see you guys next week.
See you guys.